Welcome in, everyone, once again to another edition of Talking Puck, the podcast. Tom Callahan here. I'm at Callahan on air on Twitter, joined by Jay Levin at Bowtie Sports on Twitter as we look ahead to tonight's Game 4. Sharks back in the series with a big overtime win in Game 3. Jay, this series, all three games have been one-goal games. They've all been close for one reason or another. But coming into this Game 4, you and I were talking just moments ago before we started to roll on air here. Your focus for this game, your biggest focus anyways, is not a person, but it is a thing that you feel is going to really be one of the star players of Game 4.
Well, I thought the biggest focus of Game 3 was the ice conditions. I think that again, is going to be a very key factor here for Game 4. Both teams play on the same ice. It impacts both teams differently. But Game 3, we saw it. The puck had a hard time laying flat. It was bouncing around a lot. It really impacted how both teams needed to attack the game.
You know, and we saw several times they would show slow motion replays or the super slow-mo or whatever it was of the puck bouncing away from guys. It wouldn't settle. Shots from good scoring areas that wouldn't find the mark because they were on edge or they were hopping. You know, defenseman, one play that comes to mind, Olli Maatta was backing up on a puck and it looked like it was a super ball the way it jumped up off the ice several inches. And it leads to a scoring chance. So it makes it a different kind of game, not any less exciting. But unfortunately, you think, well, maybe if the puck is sitting down, do you see another goal scored, another two goals scored? But does it balance itself out by creating more chances when defensemen mishandle pucks?
Yeah, I think it definitely led to chances at different times of the game, and it definitely took away chances at different times of the game. You know, Pittsburgh, they've been at their best this series when they've been able to get into a speed game. It seemed like the bouncing puck definitely impacted their ability to get out in transition. They struggled connecting on long home run type passes. When they were able to connect, it seemed like the guys, as they were starting a 2-on-1, 3-on-2 type rush, the puck hopped on them a little bit. They need to kind of recollect it, broke down their odd man situations there. So I think that's where it impacted Pittsburgh the most. I think for San Jose, the Sharks, especially on the power play, like to have possession in the zone, make those long tape-to-tape passes width of the ice. You were not able to do that last game just with the way the puck was hopping there. So I think it impacted the Sharks once they got into the zone, once they got their cycle game going. I think it impacted Pittsburgh in their ability to try to get out in transition. So moving forward to Game 4, which team is able to deal with it the best? Which team is able to make the appropriate adjustments if the ice continues to be at the level that we saw in Game 3?
And one of the most important things for me, I think, looking at that, you mentioned, you know, both teams, how they were affected by it. If the Sharks can step it up and become a little bit more physical, I think that's really where they can have the edge here, especially at home, especially when you don't have a puck that'll necessarily settle. You can be physical on a guy, not only taking away the time and space, but now the you know, surety of the puck being able to lay flat and be there for you, that puck handling ability is not there as much. So the Sharks, for me, I think are the team that can benefit the most from this. But they really need to take advantage of it. They need to be able to play physical, and they need to get the big players going. I mean, let's face it. We talked about the jumbo line coming into this series, and I've said it. They need to be jumbo. They haven't been. They've been pretty much absent for the Sharks in this series so far, which, quite frankly, can't continue if they're going to hoist the Stanley Cup. These guys have to show up. They have to get on the score sheet. They've got to find ways to get involved with this game. Is Joe Thornton hitting a wall? Maybe. You know, in your late 30s, you don't have as much gas in the tank as you once did. I don't care how much joy you're playing the game with, how excited you are to come to the rink every day. At some point, you physically kind of hit that wall, and I'm wondering if we're not seeing that a little.
That might be some of it, but I think also give a lot of credit to the Penguins. And, you know, it's an underrated part of Sidney Crosby's game. He is a pretty good defensive center. And I think you do have to give him a lot of credit. He's been matched up a lot. I mean, Pittsburgh has opted to put him opposite Joe Thornton, even when they've had the last change. So I think tip your hat a little bit to Crosby for the job he's done against Thornton, both possessing the puck, keeping it away from Thornton's line, not allowing them to get into their puck possession game, and making a couple of those nice defensive plays to break up some opportunities there that San Jose has potentially had.
I will agree with you. I think that Crosby has done very well against them. And coming into the final, we were talking about how that would be a matchup we would see, that Coach Sullivan for the Penguins was not afraid to put Crosby out against that line and looked forward to it. So, yes, credit where credit is due. I think that they have something to do with it. Also, for the Penguins right now, I'm looking at a team that, again, these have all been one-goal games. It could be either team's advantage right now. It really has come down to bounces and breaks so far, because I think they are pretty even and fairly well matched. One guy I'm looking at for Pittsburgh who I think needs to reappear, if you will, and really hasn't, is Evgeny Malkin. And we talked about Malkin, his size. We saw it a little bit, his speed, coming down the wing and just being able to hold guys off physically because he's so big, because he's so strong on his skates. He really hasn't made much of an impact for me here in this series either. And there's other guys on this Penguins team that, you know, we talked about all this depth that both teams have, but right now we seem to be talking about the same three or four guys every single game when we wrap things up for either team.
Malkin has had a couple flashes here or there, a couple plays, a couple rushes here or there that have made you look and say, yep, that's why we keep talking about Malkin as such an elite player. But I agree with you. He has not consistently strung those together, he has not put together dominant periods, dominant games in this series yet. He's someone, especially if the ice continues to be a little questionable, especially if the puck continues to hop like this, he's a guy who really needs to step up for Pittsburgh. He's got the strength to go straight at the defensemen and just bull rush through them. He's got the eye-hand coordination, the skill level, that when the puck does hop, he can settle it real quick and make a dangerous scoring play in a blink of an eye. So he's someone, if we continue to see this ice, that I really think Pittsburgh needs to lean on to step up. Patrick Hornquist, another guy who plays that greasy kind of game, gets to the front of the net. And we saw it pay off for Hornquist last game. So those are two guys for Pittsburgh who I want to look at, especially if the conditions continue, if the ice conditions continue to be less than ideal. For San Jose, you know, you're right. Joe Thornton needs to show up. Joe Pavelski needs to show up. I mean, those are the guys who have been driving engine of this team whenever chips have been down. Those are the two guys, to me, who just, they need to find a way to produce. I mean, that there's no way to sugarcoat that for San Jose.
Now, I do want to point out, before Game 3, you called out Jonas Donskoy. He ends up scoring the game winner. Looked pretty good out there. But Tomas Hertl is another player we talked about. But Hertl, mystery ailment, did not play in Game 3. Zubras into the lineup for him instead. So, Jay, I have to wonder, you had noticed a bit of a decline in his play. Was it because of whatever this mystery ailment is that kept him out of Game 3?
You know, without really knowing beyond the ubiquitous lower body injury that they seem to be saying and saying this day to day, you know.
Dude, we're all day to day.
Right. I mean, so it's hard to say if that led to him not producing as much, or, you know, if Pittsburgh gave him a different look than he was used to seeing at different times in the series, or if he just, you know, had a bad couple games. I mean, that happens even to the best players. So it's tough to really dive too much into that, but if he's able to return, he's a guy, a tremendous amount of skill, a guy who's a potential game breaker whenever he's out on the ice. When he does return, though, that's someone that San Jose needs really spur things, really give them a spark of creativity.
All right, I want to kind of wrap things up here. By the way, we haven't talked about the goaltending all series long, and maybe we'll get to that later on in the week, but it has not been a disappointment. It's actually been a lot of fun to watch those guys go head-to-head. But, Jay, I'm looking at this from a standpoint right now where if I'm going to give a key for either team, because of the ice conditions like we talked about, because of the need to be able to possess the puck, you're really going to have to generate far more chances than you normally would because of those ice conditions. I think we've got to look at neutral zone play and puck retrieval on dump-ins for these hockey clubs. How are the zone entries going to go? Are they going to be able to get in? Can they set up? Can they move the puck once they do? The Penguins tend to try to score off the rush. They take shots off the rush. That actually might benefit them, I think, in a game where it's more of a premium to generate your chances as you can, because coming in off the wing, being able to let a shot go, at least you're getting that shot, that opportunity. Whereas for the Sharks, they really do rely on dump it in, go get it, set it up.
I think it does put a lot more pressure on the defensemen for both teams. Letang, Burns have been guys who have been focused on a lot, but I think it is more pressure on some of the other guys. I mean, Letang and Burns are so skilled, they'll adapt. You know, they'll find a way to get things done. How do the third pair defensemen on each team react? Do they have situations where the puck hops on them, they panic, and they throw it out to a bad area? Or, you know, as we've seen with Pittsburgh earlier in the playoffs, do they panic, shoot it, goes out of play, and all of a sudden there's a delay of game penalty? So you're right. I mean, it does put a lot of extra pressure on the defensemen. How do those defensemen, I don't want to call them the unskilled defensemen, but the guys who aren't as skilled with the puck as elite guys like Burns and Letang, how do those guys handle pressure, bouncing puck, key situation?
You know, the guy for me who's not had a good series and needs to for the Sharks needs to get better, and it's a guy that normally I absolutely love. He's usually pretty rock solid, is Roman Polak. He has just struggled. He's turned the puck over in bad situations. He's just really got to, I don't know if it's focus more or just think about making the simpler play, but you talk about a third pairing defenseman. I mean, Roman Polak has got to pick it up for the Sharks Hockey Club. So I don't know. We've got game four coming up on tap here, and I don't know. I think maybe the Sharks go back to Pittsburgh with a 2-2 series on their hands. Although, again, because the games have been so close, it's hard to say for sure. But I think at the end of the day, San Jose, again, if they pick up the physical play, they can get it done.
I agree with you. I mean, this is, you know, all three games have been one play here, one play there. Easily could be a 3-0 series for either team right now. Looking at a 2-1 series, San Jose has been really good at home. This is their opportunity right here tonight to really, really turn it into a series. And as those of us who are fans of the game, a long series that's been this entertaining, that's really all we can root for.
That's for sure. That is for sure. All right. Well, that's today's Talking Puck podcast on the eve of Game 4. Sharks come in at home, down in the series, 2-1. Jay and I will be back. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, again, I'm Tom Callahan, at Callahan on Air on Twitter. Jay Levin, at Bowtie Sports. And you can follow along on our blog at talkingpuck.wordpress.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again here later this week.